Dave, I can't. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we always welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have us on the line. Joyce Riley from the Power Hour. Hi, Joyce. How are you doing? Joyce, are you there? Well, I guess, Joyce, are you there? This time, I bet we have her. Joyce, are you there?
You betcha.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so very much for being with us today. And we can talk about, of course, what's going on in the world. And I understand you've had Gary Matsumoto on as a guest.
Yes, I sure did. Have you had him on before?
No, I haven't had him on yet. I just finished reading his book, although I have him scheduled, and we will be having him on all of our programs. I think his message is one of the most important messages I've ever heard. I think he's a very, very courageous individual for being willing to track down the story of the Gulf War illness, and I think there's a lot of truth there, and I think that this explains a lot of the unanswered questions as to the undiagnosed and unexplainable illness that has crippled hundreds of thousands of the victims of the first Gulf War and is crippling the young men we have coming home today. So why don't you tell the story, Joyce, because I think it's so vitally important. The average American is not allowed to hear this because of the degree of control that exists over the mass media and ultimately over what the American people think.
Yes, and Gary Matsumoto's message is unbelievably important. Now, this book ought to be on the number one book on the New York Times bestseller list, in my estimation. It never will be there, though. And I want everybody to know that when Gary Matsumoto is on this program, you need to listen and you need to record this program, because Gary Matsumoto is, number one, a senior executive, or was a senior correspondent for NBC News and Fox News, and yet neither one of those networks will cover this book. He has been in the news media for a long, long time, and he is just as shocked as anybody that they don't want to touch this story. The story is that there is an illegal vaccine, anthrax vaccine, that was used on our troops. And what he will tell you is that probably by now, hundreds, if not thousands, have been affected by this vaccine. There have been a number of deaths related to it. And he's going to go into the subject of the squalene. He will talk about the MF-59, the possible relationship between AIDS vaccine and this vaccine. Now, I will go a little bit further than he does, and he's much more careful because he doesn't have the documentation, he says, to really support saying that the Gulf War veterans received an AIDS vaccine, but I believe that they did. I absolutely believe that the squalene, S-Q-U-A-L-E-N-E, which is an artificial adjuvant that was in this vaccine, was never intended to be put in vaccines other than those that are being used for experimental purposes and for AIDS vaccines. So the total end result now, is that we have hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are now sick as a result of having taken these vaccines. Now, he gets into the political issue of how this could have come about. How can an FDA approve or tacitly approve something? How can a Department of Defense do this to their men, knowing full well that it might harm them? Then when it started harming them, they wouldn't back off. There have been young girls, 22, 23 years of age, that have developed irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, that will never be normal again. Their lives have been destroyed.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back in just a moment with Joyce Riley. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. Our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley, and we're talking about a book that has just come out. It's called Vaccine A, and we're going to carry this book. It's one of the most important books that I think I've ever read. I was fascinated to read it because it goes into the fact that they used experimental vaccines on the troops during the first Gulf War. Now, it's estimated that hundreds of thousands of the 695,000 men and women we sent to the Gulf have come down ill. Now, we only lost maybe, 150 troops in the entire war. About hundreds of thousands. How many of the troops in the first Gulf War do you think are ill today? Do you have any idea?
Well, and let me go back and say, about 141 is the number of lives lost during the first Gulf War on the battlefield. The number of Iraqi lives lost is somewhere over 100,000. Now, I make this point to say, you cannot tell me they had an army. You cannot tell me they were able to fight. Because out of the 141 of our troops that we lost, of the U.S. troops, the casualty figure, about anywhere between 1 2/3 of those men were shot by their own men and killed by their own men. So how can we call it even a war? It was a slaughter. To go in and have 100,000 people that were killed, you can't tell me they had weapons. You can't tell me they could defend themselves. Because our troops, 2/3, anywhere between, well, they say maybe a third of them, but between 1/2 and 2/3 were caused by their own men killing them in alleged friendly fire.
You're talking about American forces that were injured.
Yes, correct. Our own men killed our own men.
This was accidentally, though.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But wait a minute. What happened when we are more powerful in killing our own men, and yet the Iraqis are not killing our men? What's going on here? There's something that was horribly wrong, and we didn't know this at the time. Nobody really knew that friendly fire is what killed the majority of our people in the first Gulf War. So we had this number of people that died, about 141. Now, here's the startling fact. We sent 697,000 troops to the Persian Gulf. As of now, Mr. Jameson of the Pentagon has now said...
Now, hold that thought for just a moment, because we're going to bring our other stations back on board, and I want everybody to hear it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley of the Power Hour. And we're talking about the fact that there's 690-some thousand men we sent to the Gulf. There were 142 or 143 that died. Most of them were hit by friendly fire. They weren't hit by the Iraqis. They were hit by our own fire men. But, you know, certainly as far as a military exercise, it was a great success. We crushed the Iraqi army, which wasn't much of an army, and of course with superior air power, why we took them out. But the amazing thing is that these people have come home, and hundreds of thousands of them have become sick. These young, otherwise healthy people who went off to war, and they've come back, and how many of them are estimated to be sick today? Do we have any idea, Joyce?
Yes, according to Mr. Jemison from the Pentagon, we now have 525,000 525,000 out of the 697,000 that are now sick. We're talking 4/5. 80% of the troops are now sick. We're talking about probably even more than the 80%, because those are only the ones that are now on some form of disability or have been turned down because they mentioned Gulf War illness in their claim, and you cannot say you had Gulf War illness because there is no such thing, according to the Pentagon. So we basically slaughtered the entire first Desert Storm military group.
Now, how could it happen that all those people would be ill? And, of course, there are all sorts of explanations that the government puts out. Oh, it was the petroleum fires. It was the pyridostigmine experimental pills we gave to the people to protect their lives. Oh, it was the poison gas, the sarin gas that they came in contact with. Or they have the pesticides that they were using on their uniforms, or the depleted uranium. But was there another factor? Were there experimental vaccines that were used on these people without any regard at all for the fact that whenever they'd been used, they created a chronic disease and death? So pick the story up there.
We had a number of vaccines that were used during this first Gulf War. The Tri-Service Vaccine Task Force is the one who was responsible for determining which vaccines would be tried. I believe one was a Shigella, one was West Nile Fever Virus, West Nile Fever vaccine. There were a number of vaccines, about 10 or 12 as I recall, according to the classified documents that I read. And these vaccines were going to be used to test on our military. The whole idea, of course, was let's sell them the items first, then let Saddam use them in Scud missiles, etc., and then we'll see if our troops can avoid getting ill.
By, of course, giving them these wonderful vaccines. But they put something in it called an adjuvant. And, of course, the word adjutant in the military means a helper. An adjuvant is something you put in a vaccine to make it stronger, to make it help. So it will stimulate the immune system. The only trouble is that the squalene or squalene, whichever the two of these adjuvants you use, are oils, and they provoke a tremendous immune response, which is great if you want to stop disease, but it also destroys the body, and it destroys the skin, it just creates diarrhea, it destroys the mind that people can't think. They develop excruciating pain, they develop chronic diarrhea, they develop chronic fatigue, they develop anterior lateral sclerosis and progressive degenerative diseases, and they knew this was going to happen because it had happened in animals, and there are reports from all over the world where they've used these things, and these are not used anyplace. And then they use them to experiment on American troops?
Yes, they used them on our troops, knowing full well that they were going to send them into this kind of an arena, that it was going to be filled with biologicals and chemicals. And let me tell you that our unit, and I've probably told this story many times, Dr. Stan, but our unit was a C-130 unit out of Kelly Air Force Base. And I had been out of the military and had gone back for what is called the IRR. Now, those of you who have been watching the news recently have seen that there's been a call-up of the IRR. Now, that's the Individual Ready Reserve. Those of us who have gotten out of the military for whatever reason, and we're not serving on an ongoing basis. We'd served our original time and then decided to kind of go just inactive is what it is. So your records go to Colorado, and you are inactive then in the military. Well, I got word that if I didn't go back, that I was going to be put in an Army unit or in a Navy unit or whatever, and I wanted to be Air Force. I wanted to be a flight nurse. So I went back again in the IRR. Now, our job that we were tasked with out at Kelly Air Force Base was that we were to land. We were trained to land at those forward hospitals, those MASH units. We did hot onloads, it was called, to where we landed the C-130. We'd keep the engines running. A hot onload was done then, by taking the injured that we had on the plane going into the front door of the hospital and out of the back door of the hospital or the MASH unit. They were bringing out the wounded to put on the aircraft, and we'd load them on those stanchions 8 high and load as many as 50 of them in 15 minutes, and then they had to get off the ground to protect from enemy fire. Now, I say that all to show you that we were on the front, the enemy, almost in the very front lines, and that was our mission we were tasked with. So, therefore, if we were trained for that mission, you would have thought that they would have told us how to care for battlefield biological and chemical injuries, but they did not. So we knew very little about that. We didn't know anything about biological because nobody told us that between 1984 and 1989, the U.S. government was going to sell biologicals to Iraq and then allow him to, and sell him the armament, the munitions to be able to deploy those weapons, and then we were going to walk right into that mess.
And of course, you also sold him the chemicals. But and of course, everybody says, "Oh, Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction." Nobody ever wants to say who sold them. Well, one of the major sailors was the United States. Now, maybe some of it did come from some other countries, but we sold chemical and biological weapons to Saddam Hussein, and he used those on the Kurds. Now, who is really responsible? Is it Chemical Alley? Yes, he's responsible, and Saddam Hussein is responsible. But what about the people who sold him? They and not only sold it to him, but gave him the money to buy it. We gave him almost $5 billion in agricultural credit so he could sell that, so he'd have the money to buy the chemical weapons that he was going to use. And even after he had used the chemical weapons and killed the Kurds, thousands and thousands of Kurds, after he had used the chemical weapons on the Iranians and killed tens of thousands of Iranians and civilians, we still continued backing him. And I've talked to people from special forces that were sent over there to help the Iraqis use these terrible weapons. And yet the hypocrisy of our leaders saying why the terrible Saddam Hussein has these weapons of mass destruction.
That's right.
Why we've got to go to war with him.
And that was called Operation Nimble Archer. Now think about that. Nimble Archer. What does an archer do? Shoots an arrow up in the air. All right? What we did was we held the hand of Saddam Hussein while he went in and killed those Kurds, or the people at Alabja. We held his hand. We trained him on how to use those weapons. His army at the time trained them, sold them the helicopters, adjusted the nozzles for the chemical spray on these people. Now, the whole idea behind this was to set him up, and Donald Rumsfeld went to Iraq in 1983, December of 1983. He was not there just for the one day to shake hands with Saddam and move on. No, he was there for a full 6 months, according to the book Twin Pillars of Desert Storm. He was there for 6 months, and he met with every friendly country to the United States. And he was not just an envoy, as they said, from the Reagan administration. He was the president and CEO of G.D. Searle Pharmaceutical Company. They knew full well what they were doing. They were arming Saddam Hussein at that point, getting him to purchase the munitions. Because, you see, once you have the biologicals and chemicals, and by the way, to make sure that they are going to be used for biological and chemical warfare and not research, they have to have two things. They have to not be attenuated or weakened, and they have to be capable of reproduction. Those two things were present. The CDC and the Department of Commerce approved the transfer of those biologicals to Iraq during the 1984 to 1989 time frame. Then the United States told him, Saddam Hussein, we will help you get the money for the munitions, for the deployment of these things, and then sold them all of the hardware, if you will, to deploy those in Scud missiles. So they used the free rocket overground missiles, the Frog missiles, and the Scud missiles to deploy those agents back at our troops, but yet never told them that we'd sold them. I mean, what? This is the greatest treason we've ever seen. You sell them all this stuff quietly, and George Bush Sr. was very much intimately involved in this through the Banco Nacional de Lavoro of Atlanta, Georgia, where was the trading point, where that is the main key point that the money changed hands for Saddam Hussein. He made it possible. In fact, he greased the skids to make sure that Iraq would get all these weapons. Then, in 1989 and 1990, well, by the way, in 1988 and 89, they were practicing maneuvers at Fort Irwin, California to prepare for this war. We knew troops that told us that 2 years in advance they were planning on doing this.
I think what's so important for our listeners to understand is everything is all scripted ahead of time, but you can't tell the boys we're going to send over there to fight and die that this war was planned long ahead of time, either the first Gulf War or the second Gulf War. After all, we have to believe it was because of what happened on 9/11, and yet if you read the book written by Paul O'Neill, Secretary of the Treasury, called The Price of Loyalty, he will tell you that 8 to 9 months before the 9/11 attack, he was attending meetings, you know, at the National Security Council. There was Rumsfeld and Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz talking about how we were going to justify a preemptive strike on Iraq. I think that's page 96. I could be wrong, but you must understand everything is scripted ahead of time. The boys are simply the cannon fodder that are used by people who have a different agenda, who march to a drumbeat, who dream a different dream. And we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with Joyce Riley as we develop these ideas. And now, if you want to check on what I'm saying, the book I was referring to, The Price of Loyalty, by Paul O'Neill, Secretary of the Treasury, and if you like a clipping we have out of the Washington Post, going into the fact that we financed Saddam Hussein and we sold him the chemical and biological weapons. We'll send it here free of charge. We have Seymour Hersh's wonderful book, Against All Enemies. It's all available. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Is it true? If it is, why no man's life or property or family are truly safe today?
Jesse Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large, until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley of the Power Hour. And, of course, we're talking about the tragic events that led up to the first Gulf War that you're not going to hear about on the controlled media across America because, of course, it would be too horrible to contemplate that we would have, first of all, precipitated this whole war, that the American ambassador would have actually told Saddam Hussein to go ahead and invade Kuwait. We really weren't concerned about that at all. And after all, why George Bush, who was the president at the time, had done everything he could to draw closer to Saddam Hussein, and Saddam Hussein really felt comfortable with the friendship of the United States that was funding him and giving him money. It had helped him in his war with Iran and even provided people to help him use the chemical weapons which we'd provided for him and given the money to buy them. So Saddam felt fairly comfortable going and attacking Kuwait. But, of course, that was his mistake. He didn't understand he was being set up for ultimate destruction. Now, Saddam Hussein is truly a wicked individual. But then, aren't the people who backed him, who encouraged him, who gave him the chemical weapons just equally responsible? Well, let's get then to what happened to our boys who went to the first Gulf War, because according to Joyce, over 500,000 of them are ill. The figures that I have certainly suggest well over half of them are, we know that 65-67% of the British contingent that went into the Gulf War are ill. We have this from a recent government report that I have, which we can make available to you, although you're better off getting it off the web. It'd be fairly expensive if I gave it to give you this report that we have. But we know that I think 65% of the contingent that went from New England Air are ill. Large numbers of people, other groups. But everything is being done to conceal this fact from the American people. And, of course, when the boys were sending over in cannon fodder in this war, they are being used as guinea pigs. Would you really think that they have the right to do that? And the only reason this is going on is because there are evil people in government. When you understand that, it all makes sense. You pick up the story, Joyce.
Yeah, we do have evil people in government that are doing this. And they are not waging this war because they want to have democracy in Iraq. They want to have control of Iraq, and that's what happened after 9/11. It's all been, you know, everyone that listens to this program knows the story of what transpired with 9/11. But the bottom line, though, now is that we sent our troops into a suicide mission into the first Iraq war. By 1995, Senator Wellstone's office, I was talking with his aide, Bill Siebenhaler, who confirmed to me that by 1995, 90% of the military that served in Desert Storm was now out of the military. Dr. Stan, you know that in war, you don't just have all of a sudden egress 90% of your people out of the military and say goodbye to them. It just doesn't happen.
Is that the Senator Wellstone that had that tragic accident?
Absolutely it is.
His plane, so often the people who are critical of what the administration is doing, their planes go down. Senator Tower, he died. Of course, the man who was on the Warren Commission didn't agree with it. Hale Boggs, why his plane went down. Now we find out they knew exactly where the plane was. They just didn't send anybody to rescue them. Go ahead.
And Senator Wellstone was complaining bitterly about this. In fact, in 1995, I was having a meeting with them, and the whole idea was to find out what he knew and what we knew about what happened during the Gulf War. We were switching information or sharing information. And that's when he told me that 90% of the military was out by 1995. Now, this is 1996 that I was discussing this with his office. Now, think about that. In the book, An American Journey, Colin Powell said that there would be a 20% downsizing. But now we're up to a 90% downsizing, which meant that 90% of the people qualified to fight a war were all of a sudden removed from the military, or released, or allowed out.
But I've written an awful lot of them by that time getting quite ill.
Yes, they were. Not only were they getting ill, but they were not able to do PT. We had one letter from a Gulf War veteran. He had been the first in his PT unit, or first in PT in physical training, and he had been the most outstanding in his unit. He later came, after the Gulf War, came in last. So they removed him from the military. He was not fit for military duty, and it just destroyed him. He said the worst thing in the world was the last thing he ever wanted to be called was a bad Marine. And he said when they called him a bad Marine and told him he was out of the military, he just lost it. It was just horrible for him. So we have this insult upon injury here because time after time, these guys are being abused, they're being violated, they are being, you know, I say that they have been raped over and over again. Number one, they found out later that the U.S. government had sent these weapons to Iraq knowing full well they were going to be used on our troops. Secondly, when they were seen on the battleground by corpsmen, they were not allowed to have anything in their records. So there is no record of them being ill on the battlefield. And so when Colin Powell and General Schwarzkopf said, well, there's no evidence that people were sick during this time on the battlefield, well, that's because there were no records kept.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joyce Riley.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course I want to remind you that we have a lot of books that will go into the background of what's really going on over in the Middle East. And we have the book, The Terrorist Timeline by Paul Thompson, which gives you a really day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute analysis of what the events that led up to the 9/11 attack. You'll find things there you will never find any other place, and yet it's all out of the public record. This is not opinion. These are articles that are available throughout the world, but most of them are totally suppressed in America. That's The Terror Timeline, Paul Thompson. Inside Job by Jim Mars. The War on Freedom, which came out right after the 9/11 attack, but it's an excellent, excellent book. Cover Up by Peter Lance, of course, that goes into the downing of the TW-800, and then Cover Up by certainly our good friend Dennis Cuddy, and lastly, September 11th, Prior Knowledge. Give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, if you want to get into the books we were just talking about, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You need to get the information, you need to read it, you need to study it, and then you need to help us get the truth out across America. But before we go on, I want, of course, to give Joyce an opportunity to get her telephone number and her website out. And they have a wonderful video that she and her husband have put out called In Plain Sight. And, of course, it is the footage of what happened on the morning of 9/11 that nobody wants to talk about. It's all publicly available. But it is one of the most shocking videos I've ever seen. Why don't you talk a little bit about that, Joyce? At least get a promo in, people to know how to get in touch with you and get that information.
Sure. I really do encourage people, if they believe that, you know, one guy was in charge of this, named Osama bin Laden, with about 17 to 19 of his buddies that were willing to die as they hit the Pentagon or hit the World Trade Center, I encourage you to get this, because it is so beyond any imagination that that could have been carried off that way. And what Dave has done here is expose what happened at the Pentagon and expose the strange flash that took place as the plane hit the World Trade Center. Now, Dr. Stan, we just got a 757 pilot who's been in touch with Dave, and they've been talking back and forth and analyzing this video. He just wrote Dave a letter today and said, basically, everything that you said is accurate. He said, I am sickened by this. I am showing it to all my pilots now. All of them are now seeing what really took place. And a lot of people are saying that that flash that you will see just before the plane hits the building is a static discharge. And he says, absolutely not. It is, there is no way that can be a static discharge. So the video goes into a lot of things that you never would have dreamed of that happened on 9/11, because no 757 hit the Pentagon. And I'll tell you, when I first heard Dave say that, I thought he was absolutely out in left field, but it's absolutely true. And then let me also add, there's a new website called Beyond Treason, beyondtreason.com, and you will see there, Dr. Stan, the trailer for our new DVD that's coming out the first of the year called Beyond Treason, about the Gulf War illness issue. It's the newest one. We had one done in 1996, which, by the way, is absolutely a classic now. Nobody has ever disproved anything in that video, called Gulf War Illness Factor Fiction. And the new one is going to be called Beyond Treason. So if you go to beyondtreason.com, you can click on the trailer there and watch a portion of what you're going to see in the new DVD. We're going to name names and places, and it is not going to make the Department of Defense happy, I can assure you.
Well, the idea that they're covering up the intentional experimentation on the American troops, why should we be surprised at that? We know about how they experimented on the mentally defective people with plutonium and defective children at the Willow Creek orphanage. They fed them hepatitis, and we know about the LSD experiments. We know about the Tuskegee study. We know what they did to the military when they gave them experimental vaccines during the Second World War, and of course 50,000 came down with yellow fever. We know the original polio vaccine that they gave us had a cancer virus in it, SV40, and we could go on and on and on. But the atrocity, what they did to our boys in the first Gulf War when they used experimental vaccine or vaccines on them, this is really beyond comprehension. And the fact that they cannot tell the American people the truth, but why should we expect they would? Didn't they lie to us about Agent Orange for 20 long years?
You know, And I forgot to give the phone number if you don't
mind. You
give
the phone number. You go get, I was going to get back to that.
Okay, on the new one, In Plain Sight, the director's cut, which is the newest one just out a week ago, it is 866-773-9469. 866-773-9469. That's the new one that is just out. And I do encourage you to get that. And along with that, Dr. Stan, we are providing the CNN American Remembers video DVD, because a lot of people have said that Dave altered the footage. So what we're going to do is provide the CNN footage, America Remembers, so you're going to get two DVDs for the donation price of $20.
And of course, that is actually the CNN footage from that day, isn't it?
That's correct.
Right.
Yes, and yeah. So you can see that they haven't altered anything. They just slowed it down, and it is pretty startling. You know, back to the issue of what's taking place in our military today, I think an example of how they feel about our military, you know, with this raid on the dining hall today, I am very suspect. I believe this was an inside job. I believe that this was done to bring, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it was done to bring some type of sympathy to our military at this Christmas season. And I am so sorry what happened here. If they can hide a bomb inside a dining hall, if they cannot protect a dining hall, what kind of business do we have in having our army in a country where we can't take Fallujah or we can't take a town, but we can't even protect our own dining hall? And I just got some information a little while ago. I got a phone call from somebody that has given me only good information on what's taking place in this war, who told me that the Iranian army is now, they are now starting to maneuvers, and they are now starting a buildup. So I think they know something that is probably about to take place, and I think this country is getting ready to attack Iran. I don't know how you feel about that, but our information is that their army is really starting to build up.
Well, of course, the thing is that we can't even, of course, control Iraq. If we are thinking at all of doing anything in Iran, this is really going to be a nightmare. I can see where they would use our Air Force to try to knock out what we are told is Iran's nuclear potential, Iran's nuclear factories. But everything we know is what we're told. We're told that Iran is threatening to attack the United States. We're told that Iran is threatening to send nuclear-tipped missiles to attack American forces in Iraq. Does anybody in the audience really believe that Iran would be that foolish to make these threats at this time in history? Or is everything we're being told a lie? Like, remember during the First World War, the cutting off the hands of the little Belgian boys and the breasts of the Belgian women? Or about the Gulf of Tonkin incident? That's why we've got to go to war in Vietnam, except it didn't happen. And time and time again, they come up with these false stories to justify wars. I'm concerned that there is going to be a war with Iran or Syria. And whether it's sooner or later, I don't know. But I've heard William Crystal, who leads the group towards the Project for the New American Century on Ted Koppelman, we have the actual text of that, if anybody wants to read it, where he talks about how we are going... Remember, the Project for the New American Century has Rumsfeld and Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and John Bolton and Liddy and Elliot Abrahams, and really the people who run the Bush administration. There were only 25 of these people in this little cabal when it was formed back in 1997, yet they control our government today. And today the man who leads the group is William Crystal, and we have him actually on video and, of course, the transcript where he tells Ted Koppel about how we're going after Iran, how we're going after Syria, how we're going after North Korea, how we're going after Saudi Arabia. What madness is this? Well, if you want to provoke World War III, you couldn't do a better job. And the American people have no idea what's going on. And with so many of our young people sick and ill today as a result of these experimental vaccines, we're wiping out the army over there even today. Joyce, you've gotten into the background of these pneumonia. How many have we had? About 50 cases of this eosinophilic pneumonia, which is some sort of an autoimmune disease, probably related to the vaccines. Would you want to cover the illness in the troops in Gulf War II so far?
Well, this strange pneumonia is now fulminating again. It's now increasing in its appearance among our troops. Now, whether it's a pneumonia or it's a result of their lungs filling up with fluid because of what other toxic exposures, I don't know. It's not a pneumonia. We do know that much. And in July of 2003, it was obvious that this young man, Josh Nushi, who had been involved in a classified hauling mission, was hauling something other than supplies for his unit, because he was overcome at one point when he laid down in his tent. He was overcome by his lungs filling with fluid, his liver immediately failed, and his kidneys failed. They air-evac'd him to Landstuhl, Germany, and he was one of 50 people that were air-evac'd out. And, of course, the media talked down to us and told all the sheeple that it was a pneumonia, when in reality, he was in multi-system organ failure. He was literally out of the military. He was medically discharged within 24 hours. Now, this is a 22-year-old kid who had been in college in the National Guard, yanked out, taken to Iraq, on this classified hauling mission, which he was letter to have written home to his parents and told them about, and then he ended up going to Landstuhl, Germany. His parents got over there at their own expense because they had militarily retired him, which, you know, you've got people from Agent Orange that are trying to get retired from the service and have been trying for years. And this kid was literally retired within 24 hours. And he later died. It was a tragedy beyond belief for his family. And his family told us that there were 50 other troops that were brought over there at the same time. This was not pneumonia. It was probably some chemical or biological toxin of some sort, or something that had taken place. Now, we know that our troops are starting to get sick now. We know that depleted uranium is a problem. Anybody in the Middle East that is serving right now, that is breathing, is being poisoned. That's all there is to it. And I think that's why they bring the generals and the high-ranking officers and rotate them so often, is to get them home, like General Franks, who, I got to get out of here, my wife needs me in Texas, and quits before the war is even over. You've got General Sanchez, who did the same thing, who came back. You've got all these generals that seem to come home, but the poor E2, E3, and E4 enlisted guys are going to be over there for 18-plus months. And they don't want them coming back here because it's going to be the same thing again. People are going to see that they are sick. So in the Air Force Times today, it was interesting, the article, big black letters, bringing order from chaos. I thought that was so amazing.
Yeah, that's one of the slogans of the Masons, bringing order out of chaos. Order out of chaos, something that starts, order of chaos.
Mm-hmm, that's right. That's in the Air Force Times. And as well as the pictures of them in the gray uniforms now, the blue and gray uniforms. And we're having a transition of our military. It's called military transformation. And they have planned the transformation by 2010. And what that transformation is, a lot of it is classified. But our military now is becoming an urban warfare military. They are transferring the combat engineers over to urban warfare training. Most of the people now are getting some kind of urban warfare training regardless. And they're telling us it's because it's going to be a new war, a new way that war is going to be fought. Well, we've got a very minimal army compared to what we used to have. In fact, you see these lieutenant colonels on TV, and they look like they ought to be captain at most in rank, and yet they're wearing, you know, rank of a lieutenant colonel on their shoulders, which is just absolutely amazing. Then we go, now we've talked about vaccines, depleted uranium just a second, but we've talked about exposure to other toxins. Leishmaniasis now is a huge problem over there, which is a parasite. And we've been talking to some of these troops whose families are now sick. And let me just give you an example. We had Jan Brown on our program. Jan's husband, Arvid Brown, was a sergeant in the Army. He has leishmaniasis. He gave it to her after she got back. And the two children now have leishmaniasis. And they are horribly developmentally delayed. In fact, the little girl just recently started walking at age 1 year. At age 7 years. She is 7 years old with a mentality of a one-year-old. And I was asking Jan, I said, Jan, what can we do to help you out this year? And she said, oh, don't get my children anything for Christmas because they can't play with anything. She said, they'll never be able to play with a toy. The children will never be able to talk. They will never have normal children. And here you've got just this one family, Arvid and Janice Brown, with two developmentally retarded children that will never be able to do anything for themselves. She spends her time at the hospital all the time. And she has the guts. This woman is so incredible. She had the guts to file a suit against the Veterans Administration and against the Department of Defense for not telling her that the men were going to be coming back with leishmaniasis and allowing them to get the disease and then to have children who the disease would be given to also. Now, leishmaniasis was bad during the first Gulf War, but it's a whole lot worse during the second Gulf War.
Is it treatable at all?
It is, with some very, very caustic drugs. It is treatable, not curable. And these caustic drugs usually are worse than the disease itself, if you know what I mean. They don't end up getting well at all. There's so many side effects from these drugs. It is a horrendous treatment protocol, and it's very expensive, so the VA pretty much does not even do it. So they don't even admit to leishmaniasis. So we're trying to find some other alternative things to help these people out, because there is no hope for them. But that's what we have done to these people, is we have put them in the position, and then we turn around, and you talk about raping them again, we turn around and say, hey, Corporal, or hey, Sergeant, you really have a mental problem. So now what they have done is given psychological testing to all of the returning troops in Gulf War I and now Gulf War II. And I guarantee you, they will find something to link a diagnosis of mental illness on. For instance, I think I told you about the Marine recruiter, who began to, he was a senior master sergeant, or a senior, yeah, senior master sergeant, who was in the recruiting, and he began to urinate on himself. He was incontinent of urine. And which is a horrendous thing, in uniform, if you can imagine that. And he would begin to cry. He was so embarrassed in front of his men. And they told him that they gave him a psychological evaluation afterwards, and they asked him, have you ever been depressed? And he said, yeah, I was a little bit sad when my mom died when I was 12 years old. His diagnosis, Dr. Stan, was PTSD secondary to his mother dying at age 12. So they're ruling that the incontinence of urine is due to his mother dying.
Well, of course, we know that, of course, the incidence of anterior lateral sclerosis, a progressive degenerative neurological disease known as Lou Gehrig's disease, is twice as often, twice as frequent in the veterans of the Gulf War. They automatically get their, of course, disability for that, but it does very little good because they die so quickly.
And did you know that also, if you complain of or are diagnosed with MS within 2 years of getting out of the military, that's if you're not Guard and Reserve, if you're active duty, you will be given 100% compensation. Now, what does the military know? Now, why do you join the military, go serve and become an Army of One, and develop MS, multiple sclerosis? What happens? What causes the demyelination of the nerve endings of the troops that serve?
Well, I would like to suggest that maybe that Gary Matsumoto in his book Vaccine Aim has a lot of answers for that. Hey, we're out of time. Get your telephone number out just one more time, Joyce.
Okay, you can order the tape by calling 866-773-9469. Go to thepowerhour.com or 911 in plain sight or beyondtreason.com. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless you. Thanks very much for everything you do. Bye-bye. A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I just want to mention that we're going to have a four-tape set on the Gulf War illness, and we really hope that you'll want to get that, and you'll talk to some of the tragic people. There's one woman we talked to. She was part of a graves burial unit, and this interview was perhaps 1956, 1957. I think there were probably 15 people in the unit. All the rest of them were dead. She was the only one who was still living. Why would that happen? Of course, we have a new four-tape set on depleted uranium. Then, of course, Major Rocky, who was in charge of working with the Army, he was their specialist on depleted uranium, and his job was to go ahead and clean out all of the American tanks and armored vehicles that had been inadvertently hit by friendly fire. He had 100 men in his unit. 30 of them are dead now, all young, healthy people. But, of course, we can't let the American people know that we're engaged in a nuclear war over in the Middle East. We're contaminating that whole area and contaminating our men, and they're coming home and dying of depleted uranium, and they're dying of the effects of the vaccines we used upon them. And it's so difficult to unbelieve that well over half of the healthy young people we sent over there are now chronically ill. And you'll certainly want to get this new book, which we're going to be having Gary Matsumoto, the author, on, entitled Vaccine A. Because this is a large part of this whole puzzle. And, of course, the last thing that they want the American people to know is they're experimenting on our servicemen. Why should we be surprised? They experimented on them with the nuclear tests, had them stand right by the atom bombs going off, and they gave them a pair of sunglasses. And they experimented on people with LSD, and they recruited 400 black men to be killed by syphilis. That's the Tuskegee study. We have that four tape set as well. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we just hope that many of you out there will really want to get the information we have available on the Gulf War. We have, of course, a four-tape set on the Gulf War illness. We have a 4-tape set on depleted uranium. We're going to be carrying this book entitled Vaccine A. That's Vaccine A. And we're going to have Gary Matsumoto on here in the coming weeks. We have another shot, a deadly shot in the dark. I think it is. It's the story of the anthrax vaccine. Anyway, you can get the book that we carry on the anthrax vaccine shots, which almost wiped out half of an Air Force base. It was an experimental vaccine. The commanding officer stopped giving the vaccine. He was, of course, gotten out of the Army. You have to do this. You have to cripple your troops, even though you can see they're getting ill. Almost half the flight crews were shut down because this was a very, very strong, lot of the vaccine. And they know what they're doing. They just cannot let the American people know that they're experimenting on our troops, because that's the sort of thing the Nazis did. Only they didn't do it on their own troops. They did it on the helpless people in the concentration camps. But why should we be surprised? We did that with the Tuskegee study. It kept up for 40 years. 100,000 physicians knew about it, and nobody said there was anything wrong with recruiting black men with syphilis and withholding treatment that could save their lives, because they wanted to autopsy them and see how the disease ravaged their body. And even some of the black physicians didn't object to this, because it was all done in the name of science. You need to hear our 4-tape set on the Tuskegee study. It's one of the most heartrending tape sets, but it gives you an idea of what happens when a nation has lost its moral foundation, and America has lost its moral foundation. Though we have "In God We Trust" on the back of our dollar bill, but it hovers over the top of an occult symbol of the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye of Lucifer, that ancient symbol of the ancient mystery religions. And actually, we carry a book called The Great Seal of the United States that goes into the background of this. I've read the Masonic literature. I've read the occult literature. They understand that meaning of that emblem on the back of the dollar bill. Why is it the average American doesn't understand that? And it's simply because the media is controlled, the educational system is controlled, and we can't let the American people know the truth. Well, we're in real trouble here in America, because the media is under the control of 5 major corporations. That's covered in a book we carry entitled The New Media Monopoly. The New Media Monopoly, it's written by a former chairman of the Department of Journalism in Berkeley, Ben Bekdakian. We recommend the book to you. This is the 7th edition of this book. It started in 1983, and Professor Bekdakian has been studying this ever since then. His latest book came out this year in 2004, called The New Media Monopoly. It's available from Radio Liberty. And then the other material we've been talking about, you need to get it, you need to listen to it, you need to get up on the internet, and you have to understand that they're planting articles all up there. The intelligence agencies, the dark side of our intelligence agencies, are putting up reports to try to discredit the truth. But if you'll spend your time up there, you will find the truth, because there are people who are putting the truth up as well. The only question is, do you care? Or is it just because it's not your son or your grandson? Well, our job is to get the American people aware of what's going on, and hope that there will be enough of them who are willing to take a stand at this time in history to save America. Remember those words of Winston Churchill? Still, if you will not fight for the right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory will be sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment when you'll have to fight with all odds against you. There may be a worse case. There may come a time when you'll have to fight when there's no hope for victory, for it would be better to perish than to live as slaves. If you read the book written by H.G. Wells, called The New World Order, and he wrote this back in the 1930s, he said, millions will hate the New World Order and will die fighting it. He was one of the insiders. He knew what it was about. Is that why they're training our troops for urban warfare? Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.